I have the honor and privilege of introducing our speaker today. And a couple of years ago, I heard her share at the Fall Spiritual Retreat. I'm telling you what, she's got a great message. She absolutely moved me. I can't say enough wonderful things about her. I don't know Julie real well, and I know a family member of hers, and then once she opened her mouth, it was like, I love her, you know. So y'all have such a treat ahead of you, and let's welcome Julie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Julie, and I'm an addict.
Julie.
I'm so grateful to be here. I was looking around at all of the years and years that this convention has been going on, and it's just deeply moving to think about the part that every single one of the people who first came in to play a part in an Oklahoma region convention has touched and made possible this moment in our lives right now. It never could have happened without those very first people coming in. We could not be here today. And I think about that. Someone mentioned to me about, you know, just think through the impact of what it meant when you got clean for what it was for your family. But I think through for those very first people who came in way before I got here, and the millions and millions of people today who are in recovery because of that. And it's just a miracle. It's just an absolute miracle that we have that to share, because we could not be here without that. And what I would be without recovery today is the same hollow shell of a person that I was when I came in. And the image that kind of came to my mind when I was thinking about that, because when I come back to Oklahoma City, I kind of get a memory of a sober living I was sent to, and it was called sober living, so I'm not blurring the message. It was called that. After I got through with treatment. And, you know, there's a lot of memories about, that was about 75 days after I stopped using drugs, not because I chose to, but because the courts chose to send me. So you also do not have to be willing. You just have to quit using. But what I think about is kind of an hourglass, except for it has a hole in the bottom, and that's kind of my soul. That's where I was. All I was consumed with is what was coming in, and there was never enough because there was so much that was flowing right back out. And I never paid attention to the fact that I had something flowing out. I paid only attention to getting more of what I thought I wanted. And things that I thought I wanted were men and attention. I thought I wanted money. I thought I wanted prestige. I thought that switching from one drug to another would help me to achieve goals. For instance, I had a drug of choice that was marijuana. At that time, and I have no idea about now, apparently this doesn't occur, but at that time we had what we called the munchies. And what that meant was approximately a half gallon of Heavenly Hash ice cream every night. And needless to say, you gain weight when that happens. So some people, you know, might think to themselves, well, shit, I probably should quit doing that. But what I thought was, I should probably just do speed, and then I won't eat as much. So that's kind of the story of my life. I looked from one wrong thing to just adding more wrong things to solve the initial wrong thing until basically all I had were a lot of wrong things. And I didn't know how to get out of that trap, because I also didn't think that I had any responsibility in my life to change anything. I really thought that it was something else that was going to fix it. So I had a lot of higher powers. Drug was a higher power. My drugs were a higher power. My parents were a higher power. My husband was a higher power. I had other people's approval that was a really large higher power. Unfortunately, none of those things was ever enough to keep me feeling like I was okay, because the deep well of shame that I carried with me was so deep. And it was made larger by the fact that what you gave me couldn't be enough. It was so deep that the more I took in, the emptier I became. By the time I found NA, the way that I found NA was I had been arrested 3 times. I was facing decades in prison. My mother showed up to a court date with me where they were ready to kick me out of diversion programs. And they said, listen, she's got one more shot. She can go to this lockdown facility and get clean, or she can go to prison. I was not in a state to be able to make that choice. It seemed to me like prison wouldn't be that big of a deal, because really when I went to jail, I just saw a lot of people that I was wondering why I hadn't seen in a long time. So it just didn't seem like that big of a deal. I did have a major hang up because I thought, oh, but I won't be able to vote if I have a felony. So that's the level of my thinking, okay? Mind you, at this time, I am homeless. I have lost my children. I have my family cannot be around me because I am so insane. You know, I am getting arrested at the rate of once every 4 months. I'm a horrible criminal. I am not able to manage anything about my life. My success story was selling drugs to children, and I sold drugs at all times, and I had drugs at all times, and I committed felonies at all times, and I thought it was the cops who had the problem, not me. My mom showed up at court and she said, you know, please just send her, you know, she can get through this. And I did. You know, and I slept for the first few days, and then I remember getting to go to my first NA meeting, and I'm not exactly sure what they said, but the thing I really resonated with was one is too many and 1,000's never enough, because I thought, I know what that is. I know exactly what that feeling is. And from that moment on, I remember noticing that there was a higher power in my life, and for the first time, that higher power was something that wasn't here to fill me up, it was to set me free. I remember I started praying, and I had no idea what I was really praying to, but I started feeling a connection to something. And I just started saying words out loud. You know, over time, I've become 1,000 different women in this program. I'm becoming a different woman right now in my life. I was looking back at those t-shirts, and the first convention that I came to was Back to Basics back in 1999. My clean date is February 9th, 1998, and I've never had to use since. And that's because of the power of this fellowship. It has nothing to do with me. It's making a choice every single day, one day at a time, that I'm not going to pick up. And I'm not. It's not that I'm just not going to pick up drugs, because I promise you, drugs will not be the first thing I pick up if I end up using again. I promise they will not be. I have a default mode, and it's called defects of character. That is my default mode. Whenever something bad happens, the very first thing I have is a defect of character. That is the first thing that happens in my mind is, I would cuss, but I see there's young people in here, but y'all know the words that come to mind. So that is the very first thing I'm going to think. The very grateful piece that I was given here is called the power of choice, right? And as long as you are clean today, you have it. You know, and today what I have is the ability to say, rather than reacting with my defect of character, I'm going to respond with some kind of spiritual principle. Mostly, that spiritual principle is called silence. You know, there's words that are used to describe me, you know, and most of them kind of, you know, like sassy, spunky, saucy, spicy. These are the words that people usually describe me with, and so sometimes the word that they need to describe me with is silent. You know, sometimes I need a moment to reflect before I say anything. I need a moment to be able to think through what I really want, and I most of the time what I think to myself is, Where do I want to be in 5 years? What do I want to look back on in 5 years? Because there, 5 years does not occur. Today occurs. 5 years is being made right now. Every choice I make right this minute, I am going to be living within 5 years. Today I can choose to be conscious of it, and that's the value of a conscious contact with a higher power. I can choose to simply be conscious of every moment that I have, and I can choose to make some good decisions. You know, one of the first decisions that I made when I got in here was the same decisions that I made out there, but fortunately I had the guidance of a sponsor, and you know, she and I had some like basic rules of the game, and like one of them was she didn't even bother telling me don't get into relationships because that wasn't an option for me at the time. She told me don't move in with them. So I thought, I can do that, you know, I can do that. I mean, partly because I was in yet another facility, but partly just because you can still leave. You can still leave. I mean, I left lots of places. But I really agreed to that, and I really kind of, I was doing a lot of the same stuff. You know what I wasn't doing? I wasn't using drugs. That's really the only thing. But I started doing some other things, like making up my bed and like going to work during the day, on time, every day. And, you know, really, I started going to meetings when they suggested. And I stayed for the whole meeting. People told me things like, shut up. And they told me things like, you don't need to go smoke again. And they told me things like, show up early and stay late and help. And you know what that made me feel? Made me feel proud. And that deep well of shame, there was like little tiny granules of that sand that started going away because for the first time I wasn't taking for the sake of taking. Because I promise you, I took you hostage. You were necessary to my survival. And when you quit being necessary to my survival and I started letting that be up to me and my own higher power, life started getting real different for me. So I started doing things really differently. You know, part of the things that changed is I started working some steps. I went to that job. I was started being a mother to my children. I couldn't do it full time. I lost them. I did not have the right back in their lives as quickly as in returning to them as I let them go. But I started seeing them, and I started just doing the next thing that was in front of me. When my sponsor said, call her every day, I did. God bless that woman. I was thinking about her the other day. I mean, I called her every day at 7:30, and I mean, just God bless her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was so crazy. Oh, my God. Everything was drama. Everything was, you know, and it was high, high highs and low, low lows. You know what I mean? And, like, it was over really important things like, I got it stain on my shorts. You know, like, I couldn't handle the basics. Everything was like a big deal to me. You know? And over time, after making a lot of the same decisions that I was making, I got a lot of the same results that you get when you make the same choices. You know? Like, when you meet people and you're super unhealthy and you closely relate, it's probably not a good idea to get in a relationship with them. You know? But I did. You know? And I heard someone say it one time really clearly. When you shop in a broken toy store, you don't get to be sad that you go home with a broken toy. But I was. And what I didn't really realize is I took a broken home toy every day. And, you know, over time, things started getting different where I woke up one day and I realized, oh my God, I am a problem. I am the common denominator in all my relationships. You know, and I thought, I've got to stop. And I told my sponsor, I've just got to stop. I broke up with the guy that I was engaged to. I fell down on my knees, and I remember really clearly saying, okay, God, I give up. I just give up. That's the first time I ever made a conscious decision on my own to give something up because it wasn't good for me. I hadn't made that choice before. It got made, and I followed a suggestion. So I guess you could say there's some little tiny choices in there simply to not do the thing that I was being asked not to do. But this was the first time I, like, volunteered to do something that was good for me. And I don't mean the kind where my normal way of not being in a relationship was like looking cute and getting up to go get coffee and trying to, like, I always had my ears up, you know, I was always like, you know, I didn't. I started paying attention to me. I started paying attention to what I needed to do to let go of. I started paying attention to hanging with women. I started paying attention to what it was going to take to become the next best version of myself. I started taking chances on myself. I started taking chances of raising my hand and volunteering for scary things like interviewing for a better job that a friend introduced me to, that I didn't feel comfortable making, but I did it. You know, when I first got my first job after, you know, I was in my diversion program, I graduated from this one program, I came back and they said, you got to go get a job. And I was like, oh my God, I hadn't worked in years. You know, I mean, not the kind where you can report it, you know. And I thought, I'm going to, you know, I had some secretarial skills before that, so I started just looking at any place that was going to hire me, and I went to work at a place in Leonard, Oklahoma, at a hazardous waste treatment, storage, and disposal facility, which when you think about it, it's pretty funny. I'm just saying. There's stuff I could have put over there a long time ago, like my house. But during that time that I was kind of going through there, I started thinking to myself, like, there's more that I might be able to do. And a friend of mine said, you know, I got this great job. It's in Tulsa, you know, and they paid $13 an hour. And I mean, they might as well have told me that I was going to make gold at Fort Knox. I couldn't imagine making that much money at that time, you know. All my money went to just paying enough to go my rent and some food, you know. And I was so proud of myself for that. And I was just like, I don't know. I mean, what if they see, like, who I really am? You know, because, like, I had applied for other jobs. And then they looked me up in the computer. And then they told me, no, thank you. Because for some reason, a rap sheet like mine scares people. And I had to volunteer to let you judge me without choosing to own it as a judgment of myself. That's some scary stuff. That's like fourth step stuff. That's like fifth step stuff. And I did it anyway, and I got the job. And over time, I've had a lot of other kinds of jobs. Today, I work in California. I'm the COO of a construction company, and I have an amazing life where I get to use the same principles we use in here for building teams and transforming lives out in the workplace. And that's what I do today. I had one of the guys that reports to me, he's our general superintendent, he's about 43. He's every guy you can imagine who's worked in construction his whole life and really should, you know what I mean? Like he's just amazing, he really is. And you know, we were talking about how we have women in construction now and how he was talking with some people who had some issues with this one girl who's also, like, you know, sassy. And the guys were like, you know, I don't know about her. I mean, you know, just every time she comes at me, and he told them something I've said to him, and I'm never really sure if he's listening to me, but I say it anyway. So he said, you know, well, what if it was a man that came at you like that? Would you think anything about it then? And that's growth. That's him starting to understand when I start looking at it and I start taking away faces and names. Anonymity is what we call that in here. That's a basic principle when we drop the I to become the we. And in that group, we can become the we and we can start looking at each other for who we are, not what we are. And it changes people and it changes him. He started seeing himself in a new way. He didn't think he could ever become an executive. And I told him, you are an executive. You will act like an executive in my presence. And he does. And you know why I can do that today? Because my sponsor did that for me. Because you guys did that for me. You didn't look at me and say, hey, Julie, you know what? You're a slut, because I was. And you're a criminal, and I was. And you're a liar, and I was. You didn't say those things to me. You looked at me and said, you know, Julie, you are one of us. It was the biggest gift I could have ever been given, because finally, and it says it right up here, we can be secure in the love of fellowship. We can finally look another human being in the eye and be grateful for who we are. It doesn't say just be grateful for you. I had never felt grateful for who I was. I was pissed off that I was me. I wanted to be my sister. I wanted to be you. I wanted to be anything but me. You know? And it kept me sick for a really long time. Still today, I have to look and I have to remind myself, today, I told my husband, I don't know if I want to get on the scale, because I'm not sure if I'm going to use that as like a reality check or as a baseball bat. You know? Because I do that today. I am 27 years clean. I am still a work in progress. You know? A few days ago, I was working Tradition 3 with my sponsor. You know, I'm answering the questions, and I answer this one, and I'm like, no, I don't think that applies to me. And she was like, oh. I was wrong. Turns out I do still have expectations. It's weird. But whatever, you know. I'm like, oh, actually, maybe I do. Yeah. So the cool thing is today, the reason I get to have that experience is because I'm willing to still be vulnerable, I'm still willing to be teachable, I'm still willing to grow, I'm still willing to become a different person. Today when I talk to other people, I can tell them, you could choose to leave that person behind if it's no longer serving you today. It's going to feel horrible. You're going to feel a sense of loss. You're going to want to get rid of that feeling, and to do that, you're going to want to offload it by acting out of character. And you don't have to do that today. You can just sit with it. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to just be able to sit with a couple things and then watch the miracle that happens. You know, I talked about losing my kids, and today I'm a grandma, and I have 3 grandchildren, and one of the things that I got to do, and I got called and asked from my daughter-in-law, she's like, hey, Julie, are you going to be in town this weekend? Because I have to take June, which is my youngest granddaughter, she and I have to go to Oklahoma City, and Ellie needs someone to take her to go get her hair done for prom. Now, I told y'all I work in California, but I bet you know that I called and got a airline ticket, and I bet you know I was here to take her, you know, and I don't work some job, too, where it's like a 40-hour-a-week job. I work a 70-hour-a-week job, and it's okay. There's no victim here. I volunteer for this stuff. But the idea that you can't because you're too tired is bullshit, so you can just quit saying that to yourself. Because you know that if it was something that was going to make you feel immediately better, you would get your ass up and do it. So you know that. And so, yeah, did I feel tired? Yeah. Does my husband love coming to get me at the airport at 11:40 at night here? Because that's when I come in on Friday nights after I work all day. That's what I do. And then I get up and I come to places like here on Saturday morning because I can. And you know why? Because I should. And you know what else? Feels damn good. But I did that on that day too. And the beautiful gift that I got out of that was getting to watch my granddaughter think that she was so lucky because she was going to get to go hang out with her friends and that she got to hang out with her grandma. You know? And that's a miracle, because my kids, I cannot undo the harm that I caused them for years. And the house that I lived in was raided more than once. And my kids lived with gang members and lots of men and lots of drugs. And me being gone all night and coming home just before they got out of bed. And I can't undo that today, y'all. But today what I can do is know that while I may have contributed to the fact that they have to make certain choices now because of the life that I gave them, I can be there for them and support them through taking responsibility for their own lives without allowing that to control them, because they also have a power greater than themselves, and it's not me. It's not me. I can let myself off the hook a little bit. I don't control every single thing. I do have to take responsibility, and one of the things I had to learn how to do was to let those things sit out there, let my kids have their own narrative about what happened to them as children. Their narrative and their idea of it and their story of it doesn't always exactly match up with mine, and it doesn't matter, and I don't explain, and I don't take anything away. I say, that must have been really hard. Do you want to talk more about that? That's what I say. Today I can use that same thing my sponsor uses with me, reflection. Today I can use the same thing that people in meetings told me, we love you, keep coming back. I can use that within my own family. I can use that with my children. I can use that at work. I've been able to transform a lot of areas of my life, like going from someone who could not be trusted near anything you had of value, to someone who could be trusted as a treasurer in a home group. That was a big deal. Peace of mind was my home group in Tulsa, Oklahoma for a really long time. And a woman that went to that group, she looked over at me one day and she just said, Julie can do that. I was like, what? No. And she was like, yeah, you're going to do it. I was like, oh my God, y'all don't know. I cannot be trusted with money. But I did it. And you know, nothing makes you trustworthy like having to trust yourself. And you know, I sucked as treasurer. Like the whole thing where you're supposed to reconcile stuff and like supposed to add up at the end, like I didn't get it. The good news is I was able to throw all the money into a pile and give it back and count it. So that is what I could do at the time. And they said, you know what, good enough. The other cool thing about that story is I actually ended up later in my career becoming an accountant. So, you know, you never know where you're going to end up. And again, I didn't even want to do that. An opportunity came up and I was able to say yes. And that's a lot of what my story has been. When opportunities come up, I learn how to say yes. I've learned discernment. I've learned willingness to be wrong. I've learned willingness to turn back around. I've driven in a lot of wrong lanes. It's all good. That's why there are U-turns. I have made so many mistakes, but I have had a really good time doing them. You know, I've been of service in a lot of different ways. I've been of service just cleaning up ashtrays. I've been of service being a greeter. I've been of service when I have been chair. I have been in area. I have been in region. I have been a part of committees. And you know why I do those things? Because you can only keep what you have by giving it away. And the most self-centered thing that I can do is I can fail to give back what has been so freely given to me. And I only have to offer what Julie can offer. I do not have a story or anything else that can be given that is somebody else's. You know, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but together we are a cup of tea. We are someone's cup of tea. Every voice in here matters. Every person's story in here matters. Hiding behind some wall of shame is an excuse. It's a convenient excuse, and it's a justifiable excuse, and I can make it sound really good, and it's still bullshit. Come on. And the cool thing about being me is I know it. You know, so some of the things I've been able to learn is stuff like discipline. And you know, like discipline is something that comes through our steps. And like actually the first place it shows up is in step 3 when you make that decision. Because you know what making a decision is not? Making a decision is not maybe. Maybe I'll turn this over to God. Making a decision is I will, and I might have to do it a billion times every few minutes because I didn't actually want to give up the outcome I still wanted. Because believe me, I have no trouble giving over anything that I don't really care about. And I also don't have any trouble giving over things that I don't want to happen anyway. I have a lot of trouble giving over things that I definitely think I know the answer to. You know? And I think I know a lot. like I told you, I was just talking with my sponsor about how I don't have expectations. And she was like, yes, you do, sister. She didn't say it like that, but she could have, and it would have been right. You know, today I get to change some of those things. You know, I get to apply discipline. When I don't feel like doing something, I just do it anyway. One of the things I learned early on is I cannot think myself into right acting. I can act myself into right thinking. Okay? I am never going to be able to analyze a situation into a better perspective. I can analyze a situation and say, what are the three things that I can change about this today? Sometimes the answer is none, none, and none. So then what's the answer after that? I can surrender, and I need to learn who I'm going to reach out to for some help if I have too much trouble with that. When I do not feel like exercising, and believe me, this is the majority of the time, you know, I just do it anyway, and I was sharing with a friend just recently, what I do is I just say, just do it for 10 minutes, and if you don't like it, just stop. I told her, it's been one time, and one time I quit doing it. Every other time, I just keep going until I stop, you know, and it's been fine. Like, I'm still living. It's all good, you know. I do a lot of stuff. I did stuff I didn't want to do when I was using. I did stuff I did not want to do so I could use. Today, I can do things I don't want to do because it's going to be better on the other side of it. It can feel really scary to go try to do jobs that you're not actually qualified to do. And that's the majority of the ones I've had. And it's okay. I have not completely failed yet. And the story I tell myself is, are my grandkids going to look up at me and say, you know, Grandma, you sure didn't do very well at that job. I don't know if I can love you anymore. No, they are not. They're like, cool, Grandma, I'm glad you're home. When I come to a meeting, are you guys going to judge me because I tried really hard and it didn't turn out well? No. Am I going to judge myself if I fail myself on first try because I do not give it a shot? 100%. I already failed myself out of life 100 different times. I chose it. I chose not to go for it. You know, I could have failed myself from not showing up to this convention, and I wouldn't have gotten to hear an amazing woman who was speaking right before this, you know, who inspired me and reminds me of why we're in this fellowship together, and how if I close my eyes, I can hear myself talking and every other person here. It's a miracle. I carry the love of this fellowship with me everywhere I go. You guys don't even know me, but you are with me. I have never been a person who was a little bit into something. I'm like all the way in or none of the way in. You know, this being able to be inside in a all the way, it's what's made the difference for me. I did fall out of the boat, you know. I did not relapse by using drugs, but I could have at about 15 years clean. And I rode a pink cloud for roughly 15 years, so if you think you can't, it's not true. Buy a saddle, you can. You can. But I quit doing all the things they say, you know what I mean? I quit going to meetings every day. I moved from here, and it seemed really weird to be going places where they did everything wrong. I think those are called expectations, so I guess I'll let Karen know that too. But I just kind of quit doing them all. And over time, I realized that one of the thoughts I had about flying was that if I was in first class, I wouldn't have to pay anything for wine. I don't even like wine. I actually don't like alcohol at all, but you know, once you start there, you can just keep going. And I thought to myself, oh my God, you are going to use. And I got myself to a meeting, and you know what I felt? I felt out of place. And you know what I did? I stayed there. And I just kept going back every single day.
That's right.
And it turns out that all the meetings I've gone to where I'm new in a place, and I moved around a lot because I told y'all I'm kind of crazy and fairly spicy, and I pretty much am pretty bold, and I try a lot of different stuff, so I've lived in a lot of places. So I just found out that if you just go and sit there and you do it for 2 months, eventually you will feel at home. Because all the people there won't be strangers anymore. And I'm just not the kind of person who immediately feels at home, because I always feel like y'all are going to know about me what I know about me. Y'all don't have to judge me. I do enough of it on my own. You know, I almost fell out of the boat. Thank God I got back in. Not everybody has that opportunity. I'm really grateful I didn't have to use. And when I got back in the middle of the boat, I've stayed in the middle of the boat. You know, and today, I am still going to be working my tradition for with my sponsor in a month. Well, let's not lie. I'll still be working with her in 4 months, roughly. I've been taking my time. We'll call it as a way to keep myself in the program.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I've always got something to work, and it's not going to happen tomorrow. So I am so grateful to be here. I'm grateful to see all of you here. Thank you so much for letting me share. And thank you to the committee for all their hard work and for inviting me to share.
Let's give Julie another round of applause. Yeah. Okay, let's circle up and we're going to close.
Take it out with your third step prayer. Many addicts have said,